If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 3. Today we're in the second week of a four-week series called Incredible Faith. And we're looking at the Old Testament prophet. His name is Elisha. Now, there's two prophets. We're going to be using both names, so I'm even having to be careful. I make sure I use the right one. But everybody say Elisha. And then there was Elijah. Yeah, so we kind of worked to try not to confuse them. Last week, though, we talked about burning the plows. That's what we talked about. No plan B, just plan A, that we would talk about leaving everything behind that, and everything would keep us from following God or that would pull us away from Him. Today, I'm going to talk about digging ditches. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? But let me take a moment and set the context for 2 Kings chapter 3. In the beginning of the chapter, we find out there are three kings that are joining forces to do battle against the Moabite people. It's going to be three armies against one. And they thought, wow, the magnitude of our combined armies, we're going to have a very decisive victory. How many of you know, though, things do not always go as planned? Anybody have that? Well, you think I got it all figured out, but something interrupts that. Well, that's what happened to the three kings and their army. Instead of conquering the way they had planned, they find their troops wandering in the desert. Let's read verses 8 and 9 of 2 Kings chapter 3. It says, then he, speaking of Jehoram, who was the king of Israel at that time, said, which way shall we go up? And he, this is King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, answered, by way of the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. We find that after 7 days of a journey, they realize we are completely out of water and we're in danger. Heavenly Father, thank you for the living word. It is active. It still teaches us today. Lord, may we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Let me continue to read some verses to you, and starting at verse 10, it says, and the king of Israel said, alas! So here they are in the wilderness. Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. In other words, we thought we were going to win. Now it looks like we're going to be destroyed. Verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, if you missed last week, Elijah is a mentor to Elisha. In fact, part of his story is back at a time when the nation of Israel was in a great drought for a long season for years, it was Elijah who prayed to God, and God sent a heavy rain. And how many remember this? It started with the size of a man's hand. That was the cloud that they saw, if you remember that story. And so the kings are kind of thinking, wow, Elisha was a servant of Elijah, and what Elijah did, maybe Elisha can help. Verse 12, and Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him, to Elisha. Now, let me just make sure we know what's going on. Three kings decide we're going to war against the Moabites, and we're going to win with ease. That's what they're thinking. After 7 days, they find they're in danger of their lives because there's no water. There's no water in sight, nowhere there, and they're concerned. You need to know two things, or a couple of things. One is, two out of the three kings are not serving God at all. They are evil. In fact, one of them is the king of Israel. He's a very evil king. And Jehoshaphat is the only one who is worshiping God. And now that they're in trouble, though, all three of them, especially these two evil kings, when they're in trouble, do what a lot of people do. Now they want to call on God. Right? Now, God just might be the solution for this one. And so they're like, does anybody know, though, of a connection to God? Is there anybody here that's kind of in good with God, because they're realizing we're not? Is there somebody who could pull some spiritual strings here and help us connect? And one of the servants, actually, of the king of Israel says, oh, yeah, there's Elisha, the prophet. Maybe he can help us out. Now, understand, though, Elisha is a rookie prophet. He's brand new at this. He had been with Elijah, but Elisha's having his own ministry just starting. And maybe they were thinking about what he had done. I don't know if you remember, but he took the cloak that fell on him and went back to the Jordan and took it, and he smote the waters with it, it says, and the waters split, and he walked across the Jordan River just like the Israelites did on the Red Sea. Then there's two other miracles that Elisha did. Let me read them to you in 2 Kings 2. One day the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. We have a problem, my lord, they told him. This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Elisha said, bring me a new bowl with salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water and threw the salt into it. And he said, this is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility. And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elisha said. And then we go on and read of another miracle in the next verses. Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. As he walked along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. Go away, Baldy, they chanted. Go away, Baldy. Apparently, being bald came with ridicule even 2,400 years ago. It's nothing new under the sun. Verse 24, though, here's what Elisha did. Elisha turned around, looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. The lesson you learn from this is do not make fun of a guy with bald head, because you never know how much faith he has, and you don't know how close a bear might be. So back to our story in 2 Kings 3. The kings are like, just maybe Elisha can help us out. So let's see what Elisha, the man of faith, does in verse 13. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. Even though they thought the Lord was calling them and together at first, and now they're like, the Lord will give us up, it was Elisha who's really basically, listen, he's telling them, at least the two evil kings, you've not been following God. And actually, with a little sarcasm in his voice, if you heard it, he tells them, why don't you go to your false prophets? Go to your mama, you know? Go to your mama's prophets, you know, that type of thing, or your daddy's prophets, and call upon their gods, see if they can do anything. That's kind of the attitude. By the way, when you are mentored by somebody, you sometimes pick up their character. It can be good, it can be bad. Because if we go back and we look at Elijah had a little bit of sarcasm in him as well. One time, if you remember, it was at Mount Carmel, Elijah, there's 450 false prophets of Baal, and they're worshiping Baal, and Elijah says, boys, let's have a contest. Let's see how big your God is. So he said, let's get two bulls. You kill one, I'll kill one, and let's make a couple of altars. Then you go ahead, call upon your God, and see if he'll send fire from heaven. Now, I'm trying to understand this, but these 450 prophets of Baal think this is going to happen. Basically, Elijah said, if your God can do it, my God can't, then we'll worship your God. But if my God does it, your God can't, then we're going to worship my God, right? So they decide to do it. Well, the prophets of Baal get their offering ready, and they're like, send fire, send fire. And they're calling out to their God, and nothing's happening. And Elijah is like, well, maybe you should just say it a little louder. Might be deaf, you know, or your God, he's probably thinking about something else right now, or your God is sleeping. If you go to the Living Bible, it says maybe your God's in the bathroom. Living Bible is good, but it's a paraphrase, okay? But the thought was kind of there. So they got louder. In fact, the Bible says they began to cut themselves and blood was gushing, but nothing happened. Why? Because Baal is not a god at all. So Elijah builds his altar, and then he drenches it with 12 pots of water. And here's what happened in verse 36 of 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. I want you to catch that. Don't gloss over that. Elijah's not just making up something. He is listening to his father. So he's doing these things. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trenches. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Well, Elisha has this same kind of faith that Elijah does. He knew the puny false gods could do nothing. So he's not afraid for them to try to call upon their gods. Of course, the three kings really already knew the false gods are not going to respond. But Elisha's just trying to show them how far they had gotten away from serving God. But Elisha goes on to say in verses 14 and 15, and Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehovah, King of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. Jehoshaphat's the only one who's serving God. And Elijah respected that. And he says, because of Jehoshaphat, I'm going to help. And Elisha goes on in verse 15. Now, bring me a musician. Then it happened, when the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Church, let me just move to the side of thought for a moment. Please do not ever negate the power of worship. When we come into this place, we are not having prelude to what's going on. When we step into this sanctuary, everything we do is for Him. We don't just come to sing songs. You need to really learn how to walk in and enter in with praise and honor and blessing to God, because He's worthy of praise. And the Bible tells us when we praise Him, God inhabits that. He shows up in a powerful way. I remember when I was a worship leader in Canada, and we're just worshiping the Lord. And I remember it was over in this section over here that a lady whose ear had closed up, deaf, it opened up in the middle of worship. Sometimes, listen, the power of God can happen when we really know how to worship, because He shows up. And by the way, He is healer. He is restorer. He is Savior. And when He shows up, He begins His work. Followers of Christ, you need to know there's something special when your heart's theme becomes praise and worship toward God. This morning, before we go any further, could I just, with music, take a moment and just let God begin to, I want to see the hand of God move today. So let your glory fill this place. Let your glory fill this place. Lord, our hearts are prepared for you, and your love we have embraced. Holy Spirit, take control. Let this place be your abode, and let your glory fill this place. Would you lift it with me? Oh, let your glory fill this place. Let your glory fill this place. Lord, our hearts are prepared for you, and your love we have embraced. Holy Spirit, take control. Let this place be your abode. Let your glory fill this place. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, take control. Let this place be your abode, and let your glory fill. Oh, let your glory fill. Oh, yes, let your glory fill this place. Church, if you just begin to enter into worship, not just a song, but let your glory fill this place. Holy Spirit, take control. Because church, when we read His Word, it's worship. While I'm preaching, this is worship because it's giving worth to Him and who He is and what He has given us. We do a worship service. You understand? And that musician began to play, and Elisha is moved on by the hand of God. And in verse 16, it says, and he said, Elisha said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Would you read that verse with me, everybody? And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Basically saying, you know what? Dig some ditches and dig them everywhere. And it goes on in verse 17. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle and your animals may drink. He goes on in verse 18, and this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. In other words, you don't even know how powerful and how strong and how mighty God really is. At the snap of a finger, God can do this. It's an easy thing for the Lord. And by the way, the thing you started out to do and wanted to do, He's going to do that as well. He goes on and says, He will also deliver the Moabites into your hands. That's what He tells them. There's the story, and it happens. But I want to give you a couple of things to think about today. Do we have faith in action? I'm talking, do we really have a faith that works? A faith that would move the heart of God? Faith that believes that God is going to act upon what He promises, what He says He'll do. And church, understanding that when you take a step toward God, God will take a step toward you. Two principles today. The first one is this. Number one, only God can send the water. But sometimes He wants you to dig a ditch. Only God can send the water, but sometimes He wants you to dig a ditch. Listen to what James 2:26 says. Just as the body is dead without breath. Now, I want you to make sure you get the analogy today. What does this say? How many have ever seen a dead body breathe? How do you know it's dead? There's no breath in it. So I want do you catch the analogy? I know you're going, well, you're talking about dead people. It's an analogy that James is using. Look what he's comparing it to. So also faith is dead without good works. You're going, well, I love God, I serve God. Are you operating with faith and action? Church, God can do anything he wants, but he wants us to live by faith. And that means it needs to be an active faith. God's like, you show me your faith and I'll show you my faithfulness. That's what God's saying. God wants to see your faith. All throughout the New Testament, we see it again and again. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. How do you see faith? In action. That's the way you see it. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, like, I want to come. And Jesus goes, come. What did Peter do? He acted upon it with faith, got out of the boat. And what did he do? He walked on water. Because he put that faith into action. There was a guy who had a withered hand. Do you remember the story? And what does Jesus say to him? Stretch out your hand. In other words, I can heal you, but I want to see you believe it. I want to see action. Remember when the man is, for years he had been lame. And Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Jesus wanted to see that the man had faith. Hebrews 11:6, listen to it. But without faith, faith has to have actions, right? It is impossible to please him, please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That God is, listen, he is who he is, and he said what he said. I'm responding, I'm acting upon it because of who he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He does and responds to faith. Too many people are waiting for God, saying, God, boy, if you'll just move. And God says, I want you to move. If you want to quit smoking, then why don't you just take a step of faith and throw your cigarettes in the garbage and say, God, there's some faith. But you better do it in the sense of having faith in what God can do. You want a healed relationship that's been broken? Then you be the first to forgive. You dig the first ditch. There are people who say, well, I want my kids to serve God. I want them to be strong followers of Christ. But they never open up the Bible in their own homes. They never share God's word with their kids. They never pray with their kids. Church, you want some water, then dig a ditch. God always sends water when there's a ditch for the water to fill. So only God can send the water, but sometimes he wants you to dig a ditch. Number two, real faith believes big, but it's willing to start small. Church, we see a God who can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than all you could ask, think, or imagine. It's time for us to think big. How big is your God? What can he do? We serve a big God. But we got to start somewhere. Let me ask you, how do you dig a ditch? You start with a shovel and one shovelful. Some of you got faith saying, well, I got one of those big diggers or whatever. You know? But you got to start somewhere. Zechariah 4:10 reminds us, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The first message I ever preached was in the church I grew up as a teenager, from eighth grade through my first couple years of college. And it was a morning, all 15 of us were there. I grew up in a very small church all those years, and in fact, when we had 30 people in there, the place was packed. And anyway, that morning, the pastor who was supposed to speak didn't show up. So the people were looking around, and they see this 17-year-old boy, and they said, "You're going to preach for us this morning." Now, at that point in my life, I never knew, I even never expected that I would ever be preaching every Sunday morning. Never crossed my mind. But that Sunday morning, I started small. In fact, what I thought would last 30 minutes lasted 10. And now you go, can you go back to that? I started small, but listen, there were some other people that dug a ditch in my life, and God came along and filled it with his water. Sometimes we start small, but be faithful with what God has given you. I encourage you, think big, but be willing to start small. Pastor James, worship team, would you come? In 2 Kings, the third chapter, verse 20, I want you to read what happened. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom and the land was filled with water. Now you can read the rest of the story and with your Bible this afternoon. In fact, I encourage you, go read the whole third chapter. Read about what happened, and because it's really a miracle what happens next, but you need to read it. But this morning, I believe God is calling us to faith and action. I don't know what God is speaking to you, but all I know is you need to respond with faith, just like Max did. The faith was simple. God, you need to show up. Because without God, it probably was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Only God can send the water, but sometimes he wants you to dig a ditch. And real faith believes big, but is willing to start small. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray you would build our faith today. Build the faith in your church. Lord, help us as a church do corporately what you've called us to do. But Lord, also there are individuals here that you are asking them to do something in their life. Lord, help us to trust the voice of the Holy Spirit, and then help us to step out in faith and respond to the things you've called us to. This I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The first step of faith I'm asking for this morning before we close is maybe you've not really accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is a step of faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Now, many of you have made that decision in your life, but I don't know that everybody has. And maybe you've allowed things to skew your life and you've found yourself like these evil kings and you're not really following the Lord. Well, the Lord is saying, listen, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm here. And I want to move in your life. So if it's you this morning that needs to accept the Lord, I'm going to ask you to be bold enough and brave enough. And we have one in first service, and I don't know if there's one or none, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to give you that choice to say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. So with your heads bowed for a moment, if that's you in this place today, you need to say, God, I'm coming back. I'm surrendering all again. Would you just slip your hand up, and you can put it right back down. But if you just need to give your life and say, God, I want you to be Lord of my life, because it is a big decision, because it's a long walk with him, but a good walk. Is there anyone? I'm just glancing around. Balcony? Main floor? I don't see any hands this morning. You can look back at me, because I'm not going to make something out that isn't there. But now my call is to you. So you're sitting here and you're saying, listen, we go to church. We want to follow God. But my question is, where are you really in your walk? Are you really saying, God, I know you can use me? Are you really saying, God, I want you to use me? Because I know he wants to, but are you willing to dig a ditch? Are you willing to say, God, it doesn't look like much, but I believe, I believe, I believe, and I'm going to remove some dirt. and there's going to be a place for water to come. The water didn't come immediately, but they had faith, and they listened to what the word of the Lord said. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what, and I know God is calling us as a church corporately to some things. In fact, I have to be honest with you, and I've been very transparent with you, that God is working on me in the midst of this. January, you have no idea how God has been speaking to me. And that's why I'm in this series, because I'm like, God, I want this kind of faith that people walked in. Because you haven't changed. God has not changed his ways. He still wants to save lost souls. He still wants to restore people and heal them. He wants you to really know. You know what the church struggles with? Really being forgiven. Did you know the Bible says he cast your sin as far as the east is from the west to be remembered against you no more? Quit listening to the lies of the enemy, church. Let's wake up. You are a child of God. He loves you with an everlasting love. And his Holy Spirit has been placed within you, and he wants to speak to your life, and now he's waiting for you to respond. And I know some of you, I don't know, I have big dreams. I dream big. You know what? But I'm starting small. And I'm having to come back to that principle in my own life. Because I've been kind of like, God, you've said it. Go ahead, God, do it. And I'm having to come back. He's going, what are you doing? And I'm beginning to move in a direction that like I never have before. I don't know when the water's going to flow, but I'm digging some ditches. Because I believe God wants to move. I believe God wants to do great things. And I'm not about to give up on the church in this day. There are places I know that are going far from God. But I want to be the Jehoshaphat that stands firm in the midst of it all. Jehoshaphat, go read 2 Chronicles 20 and know how Jehoshaphat knew how to worship. And in fact, one time he puts all the worshipers in front of the army. And it's the worshipers who won. Church, I want to be a church that says, God, we're willing to do and be whatever you want us to be. But your church will prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against your church. I want to be that type of church. Because I know churches are falling all over the places. They're shutting down everywhere. Church, it's time to be the church and see what God wants to do through his lovely church. Amen? But it starts with you having faith. So this morning, we're going to end by worship. There will be no formal dismissal, but maybe though you need to come to an altar. Our altar is not where something is burnt and dead. This is called a living sacrifice. Why? Because the living sacrifice has faith and puts that faith to action. So this morning, the worship team's just going to worship, and then you have to make a decision. I know it's noon. You're going, well, it's time for us to leave. It may be time for you, but it might not be time for God. Church, we have dictated ourselves by the clock way too long. I'm being honest with you. We let things begin to dictate how we, and maybe that was part of the word this morning. Don't let the world take you away from the love of God. So church, I'm not asking you have to spend a long time, because you know what? I'm expecting you to leave here also walking with God, because you recognize his presence. You're aware of it. Amen? But I want us to take a moment corporately. As they worship, you surrender. If you need to come to an altar, whatever that be, because I believe God, over these next couple of weeks, there are some things I believe God is going to break through. He's already doing it in your life. He may be doing it in others, but I believe God wants to do something with his church. And I want to be a person of faith, incredible faith, because my God is the Lord of hosts. My God is the creator. My God is the savior of the world. My God is the soon coming king. My God is the God above every God. He is the Father. He is your friend. He is your forgiver. And so, church, do we recognize what He wants to do? Heavenly Father, come have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.